Things are quite a bit different this go around. It's been only one other time during this pandemic that I've been able to physically stand before you and present a message. I've been staring at a camera the rest of the time. Normally it's late Saturday night, pre-recordings to get things edited and done and ready to go Sunday morning. And now it's Sunday morning and I'm presenting a message, and it's quite a bit different. I'm thankful that you're able to be here. I'm thankful that I'm able to be here. I'm thankful for so many who during that time have gotten the virus, overcome the virus. And we're thankful that God continues to hear our prayers and answers them on so many fronts. I'm thankful that Jeff is able to take the role that he has right now in taking care of James and seeing to it that he gets back and forth to dialysis safely, and also to try to remain safe and not get sick himself. And it's because of the role Jeff has taken on that I am able to stand before you today. Our theme throughout this entire year is being the hands of Jesus. A more central focus for us at this time is bearing fruit. If we're going to be the hands of Jesus as we ought to be, we're going to have to bear fruit. It's not a matter of if or when. It's a matter of what we're going to accomplish. God is accomplishing great things, and we see it in the world of technology. We see it in the numbers of those who are joining us, even right now, by way of social media. We're thankful for each and every endeavor. We're thankful for God's blessings, but we must continue moving forward in our path towards growth. On Sunday nights, as a matter of fact, we're studying some things, taking progressive steps toward living the maximum life in Christ, the life that Jesus came to give us, John chapter 10 and verse number 10. He said that He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And so in our studies concerning the maximum life, we asked and allowed the Bible to answer the question of what am I doing here? God has given every human being some general purposes for which they are to live their life. Those who commit to following Him, He's given some very specific instructions, very specific purposes for which each and every one of us as Christians live on a daily basis. We also considered our values and the source of them, whether the values we're living by come from culture or come from Christ. If the values come from culture, they are temporary, they lead to temporary rewards, and they lead to things that will vanish away. If we live according to the value system of Christ, we have benefits not only in this life, but in the life to come, eternal life. And so then we looked at how God formed us and the function that He designed us to carry out. Would you believe that God designed you specifically, very unique in a set of talents and abilities, because He wants you to come to Him and serve Him? And when you make that decision to come to Him and serve Him, He gives you even more specific skills and talents and abilities to use in service to Him and in service in the church. God formed you with these abilities. He formed you with these talents, knowing the function that He wants you specifically to carry out for Him. Well, the next step that we must take in considering this maximum life and living the life that God wants us to enjoy is to consider the question that's before us this morning. Will I commit to Christ? Again, Jesus came, as John 10:10 says, that we may have life more abundantly. The Bible instructs us to guard our hearts with the utmost care, because the value system that we treasure most charts the course of our lives, leading to one of two destinies, heaven or hell. And truly, the choice of our destiny is up to us. This choice is perpetually made by either following the Word or following the world. So we must choose. either to commit or not to commit. Will you commit to Christ? Robert Bella and four other authors worked together to write a book called Habits of the Heart. This book details American way of life. It details individualism and our commitment in the American life. Their book then reveals that our society as a whole fears commitment. You see, we lack individual freedom. We lack having options. We don't like being told what to do. We want rewards, but we want rewards on our terms. And so commitment to Christ goes against our society's norm. But this is nothing new. If you look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, there Paul encouraged Christians, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Committing to Christ means far more than just making a decision about Jesus. Many Christians, it would seem, have made a decision about Jesus. They've not fully committed to Him. We could not have asked for a better selection of songs this morning, nor a better invitation song. Because God has worked great and marvelous things among us, He wants us to see that our decision about following Jesus is more than just a decision. It becomes a way of life. It is true commitment. But without the commitment, we're just like that branch that does not bear fruit, which Jeff discussed with us last Sunday. So why would we commit to Christ? Commitment to Christ is part of God's plan for our life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10 tells us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God prepared certain works for us to fulfill. Then He formed us and fashioned us with all the talents and abilities, all the tools needed to fulfill that calling. And when we find our form and we begin to fulfill the function that God has called us individually to fulfill, we will be committed to Christ. It's God's plan for us to commit to His Son and to commit to doing good things in His body, the bride that is on the earth, which the New Testament reveals is the church. But are we committed? Commitment to Christ is how God made salvation possible. God saves us by calling us to a holy life because His own purpose and His own grace demanded it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9, God outlines the process, the purpose, and the basis of salvation. The process of salvation is that God calls us to come and take part in His kingdom. That calling has been made outwardly to us by the preaching of the gospel. Inwardly, the influence of the Spirit working through the Word that leads to the purpose of salvation, which is for each believer to produce a life of obedience and holiness to God and not to self. The very basis of our commitment to Christ is for us to receive salvation. Our dedicated, committed service of being the hands of Jesus and bearing much fruit is a means of expressing to God our thanks for our salvation. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Paul would say that it is by the grace of God, by God's grace toward us individually, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, that we are what we are. Therefore, God promises to reward commitment to Christ. In the following three passages, listen for the commitment and then the reward that comes because of the commitment. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, human fundamental needs, will be added to you." You go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. There Jesus said, "Give." And we beg the question, to who? Give to friends and foes, as the context reveals. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, explained by Jesus as pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Trifold blessing. But notice the last line of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus said, "For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." Your reward will be based upon your decisions. Your reward will be based upon how you chose to live life and whether or not you chose to commit to Christ. The reward then for committed service will be disproportionate to our efforts. Luke chapter 19 and verse 17 highlights when it says, "Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities." Why would we commit to Christ? Because it's part of God's plan for our life. Because it's the only way in order to receive salvation. And it's the only reward that comes with great promises of even greater reward. Why would we not commit to Christ? We recognize that so many have not. So why would we not? Why do they not? Nearsightedness is one reason. Nearsightedness causes resistance. Only looking at the moment, not looking long into the future and to the distance, is nearsightedness. Nearsightedness looks for the easy thing, the quickest thing, the closest thing. In Mark chapter 4 and verse number 19, Jesus said it this way, "The worries of this age," the things we can see and experience in this age, "the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Focusing on the immediate causes us to lose sight of the important. We simply lose sight of real values, lasting values. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 said that the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. You can live forever, but to live forever you must commit to Christ, because the bigger and the better payoff comes after a long life of service. The bigger and better payoff comes at the end. And so we must commit not to the temporary rewards, but to the greater reward. Selfishness also causes resistance. Oh, we think we know how to best live life until life has its problems that bring us to our knees or lay us flat on our back. God designed us. God knows what is best for us. And thus it becomes humility. Humility is the factor that comes into most questions about our commitment. Are we truly committed? Then we'll see humility. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever wishes to lose his life," or "whoever loses his life, for my sake and the gospel's, will save it." Commitment to self results in temporary rewards that do not last. Commitment to the selfless Christ gains the greatest rewards because Christ gave His all for us. But then there is fear. Fear causes resistance. Oh, we ask ourselves many questions before making a commitment. What will it cost? How will it change my life? Can I stay the course? Some questions we ask ourselves, though, induce fear and build an unhealthy amount of fear. We ask things like, what will others think? Or what if I fail? The devil himself will use that fear, capitalizing upon it, to our own destruction. The questions we need to be asking in turn is, do we trust God's wisdom? Do we trust God's love? Because when we do, we'll agree with Hezekiah, who said in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed. Why? For the one with us is greater than the one with him. Hezekiah spoke about an enemy. We have an enemy, the devil, who wants us to be afraid, who wants us to shower, who wants us to shy away from the very purpose God has built us for and designed us to fulfill. Paul pointed out in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, but all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Are you committed to Christ? There is nothing to fear in committing our lives to Christ. Truly, there is no legitimate reason for not committing to Christ. So how do we? How do we commit to Christ? Commitment to Christ requires obedience to the gospel's call. We see this laid out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. We must come to recognize that the lost condition of a sinner is our condition if we are outside of Christ. If we do not know Christ, we are lost. We are lost in sin. But recognizing that we are lost outside of Christ, we must then recognize and believe that Christ came to help sinners. He came to help us. He came to help us resolve to turn away from sin and to follow God. He came to help us as we would confess Him as Lord, as Master, ruler of our life. Following God's will then leads to the faith response of baptism, wherein believers participate in Christ's death and where the power of God through the blood of Christ gives new life to all who obey Him. All Christians need to be reminded that commitment to Christ is a daily commitment. If we're going to bear fruit, we must make that commitment today. If we're going to be the hands of Jesus, we must make that commitment today. Yesterday's commitment means little to nothing. Today is what matters. We must yield fully. We must yield full control to His power and His grace in full resolve, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22, verse 42. Commitment to Christ also requires that we calculate the cost. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25 and following, which Brother Eric read with us just a bit ago, Jesus was very bold and He was very clear about commitment. Jesus wants us to understand that every commitment has its benefits. Every commitment has prices to pay. So if we choose to commit to Christ, there are certain things that we will give up because of our commitment. A person who commits to Christ commits to Him by giving up personal sovereignty. You see, God has given us the gift of choice to direct our lives. He's given us the opportunity to choose. And this is where we get to call the shots. We make the decisions about how to best live life. We choose then how much influence the Almighty God, who gave us the opportunity to choose, will have an influence in our lives. Commitment to Christ is the best response, because by doing so we acknowledge that God knows best. This commitment is seen in what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Personal rule or control in our lives is extremely valuable, and Jesus understands that. That's why God, in part, gave us the opportunity to choose. So is the high cost of giving over rule and control of our lives to Christ worth paying? A person commits to Christ by giving up the personal priority of all resources. When a person commits to Christ, the person relinquishes all resources. It's no longer our time, but God's time. It's no longer our money, but God's money. It's no longer our property, but God's property. It's no longer our talents, our knowledge, wisdom, opinions, behaviors, preferences, reactions, friends, or even family. All of those things belong to God, and they are for His use. So what are we to do? What are we doing here? We're supposed to be accepting God's purposes for our lives. Because when we accept God's purposes for our lives and live according to His values, we come to see and discover the clarity of the reason why we have all of these things. Their purpose and place in our lives, and what we are to do with them in order to glorify God. So in reality, we become not owners, but stewards. Stewards of all the resources that God allows us to have. So is relinquishing personal priority in all resources too high a cost to pay for commitment to Christ? It's a decision each one will have to make. A person commits to Christ by giving up the pursuits of the worldly value system. In 1 John chapter 2, I shared verse 17 with you earlier. Verse number 16 tells that the world values pleasures, possessions, and positions. These things become wrong for us when we live for them instead of living for Christ according to God's values. So we must ask, which one do we value more? Which one do we care more about? Worldly values or godly values? Either way, we will pay prices. Is the cost of committing to Christ worth it? Commitment to Christ requires that we decide between ourselves and the Savior. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Giving up personal sovereignty, giving up priority use of all resources, and giving up on chasing the world value system is exchanging temporary rule, control, and pursuits for our soul's eternal salvation. Either you're going to live for culture, and therein give up the greatest rewards in Christ, or you're going to live for Christ and give up the best the world has to offer. If we choose not to commit to Christ, what then do we give up? We give up the best use of our life if we do not choose to commit to Christ. Oh, personal joy and mutual benefit, they're just a part of life. Everyone seems to enjoy these. But Christ came that we may have this life more abundantly. So will you give up what the world enjoys for something better? We give up lasting satisfaction and fulfillment if we do not commit to Christ. In essence, we exchange the lasting, important things for temporary, unimportant things. We exchange our soul for pleasures, possessions, and positions that do not last, even in this life. We also give up eternal life. The eternal bliss of heaven is a loving gift and a just reward for those who love God and do His will. The alternative to the heavenly reward is also fair. It's also just. Because the choice is ours to make, and God will simply honor our choice. Look at the choices. Look at the cost. Ask yourself, which do I love more? Do I love self and this world? Or do I love the Savior and the spiritual world? The question of the day, will you commit to Christ, requires serious thought. But here's the irony of that question. Not a one of us knows how long we have to contemplate that question and answer it. Christians everywhere therefore set forth Paul's message from Romans 12 and verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, the bountiful blessings of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable or rational service of worship. It's reasonable, it's rational to commit to Christ. It's unreasonable, it is not rational to withhold our lives from serving Christ. Thus, Christ wants you to come to Him. And He directs you, He directs each and every one of us to give God everything we have, because God will give to us more than we ever thought we could have. So how do we begin to give ourselves to God? Hear the Word of God and believe the loving message of God our Creator and His Son, Jesus the Christ, who desires to save all of us. Repent of the sins that have and are keeping us separated from God. Confess Jesus, the Son of God, to be ruler of your life and be baptized into Christ in obedience to God's will, where you will contact the saving power of God through the death of His Son, Christ. Commit to live your life for Christ. The reality is that everyone wants salvation, but we all want it on our own terms. But God did not design it such. God designed it such for us to receive salvation when we commit our lives fully and completely to Christ. So please, consider this question seriously. Will you commit to Christ for a new life that will be eternal? The choice is yours to make. And on the day of judgment, as each and every one of us stand before God to give an account of the things we've done in the body, God will choose to honor the decision that we have made with every day of our lives. Will you commit to Christ? Who will commit to Christ?